Hi, this is Justin Coletti of Sonic Scoop. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode of the Sonic Scoop podcast. And today we're going to be answering another audience question, this time about dithering. I think I'll call this episode something like, "What's the deal with dithering?" Or maybe, "Dithering Demystified." For those of you who don't know, I do have a full-length course called Mastering Demystified that you can check out at masteringdemystified.com. And we discuss dither a little bit in it, but it's a confusion point for a lot of people. It's a nerdy question, but one I think we can de-nerd and demystify and make you understand so that you don't forget this stuff going forward. It's going to seem a lot simpler, this whole world of dither, a whole lot less mysterious once we get through with it. So let's get right into it. Before we do, the briefest of shout-outs to our sponsors in the sponsor section, the most important sponsor always being you. How do you sponsor? With your likes. Remember to hit the like button on YouTube or Facebook if you're on those versions. Hit the notifications bell, subscribe, all that good stuff. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, consider giving us a rating and review. It really does help. All right, big sponsors for this week are Sound Toys. Try out anything they make for free over at soundtoys.com, making some of my favorite creative mixing effects in the known universe. Also, Focusrite. I'm speaking to a lovely Focusrite claret interface right now. Now that you've gone through the sponsor section, that was super brief today, right? Because it's going to be a super brief episode. I do want to give you something potentially totally for free or at a steep discount. The free thing, we are giving away one of these microphones, a BB29 from Jay-Z Microphones. It is voiced to have this nice airy top end, has a transformer based output. So a little bit more kind of soft in the transients and maybe a little bit more soft around the edges than some other brighter microphones, but it's really made to kind of stand out in front of a mix. Do you like it for the podcast? Let me know in the comments or shoot me an email at podcast@sonicscoop.com if you think I should switch over to this mic for future episodes of the podcast. You can win it over at sonicscoop.com/contest. So enter to win there. Also, Jay-Z sometimes have big special sales, as much as 50% off a couple times a year. You want to check out the Sonic Scoop newsletter to be alerted of those kinds of things when they're happening. So check that out, sonicscoop.com. Sign up for the newsletter there. Okay, right into the question of the day, dither. What is dithering, Justin? Does it really matter? Do I have to avoid dithering twice? If I'm sending you files that I worked on at 32 and I'm sending them to you at 24, should I dither them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? All right. Dither, for those of you who don't know, is just a way of masking the errors, the quantization errors that can happen at the very quietest frequencies. And these quantization errors, if you were to like put them under a microscope by cranking up your speakers all the way when there's practically silence going on, could sound a little staticky, like it's not perfectly clean noise. So what dither is to take this kind of staticky, distorted, artifacty noise floor and put basically prettier sounding noise over it. That's what dither is. It's relatively pretty sounding noise that is masking bad sounding noise, or really replacing bad sounding noise. And there's a few different ways to dither. You can have dither that's basically like pink noise or white noise, or you can have dither that is shaped. And shaped dither will often try to push this noise into the areas that are less audible to the human ear. You've probably heard of the Fletcher-Munson curve, which basically means our ears hear better in the mid-range than at extreme lows and extreme highs. Our hearing is not completely linear. So some types of shaped dither will try to push the noise way up into the highs and into the lows and try to keep it away from the mid-range. So when is dither necessary? Some people will tell you whenever you're exporting a 24 or 16-bit file, you should be applying dither. Some people will tell you you should only ever apply dither once. Some people tell you that you should only be applying dither when you're going from a bit depth like 24-bit fixed to a 16-bit fixed, then you're going to apply dither. What are my thoughts on this? My thoughts on this are that it's not that big of a deal. And people do give conflicting advice because it doesn't really matter that much. And if it did matter that much, well, people would hear those differences for themselves and it wouldn't be much of a question. People would just be like, oh, when I do it this way, it clearly sounds bad. And when I do it this way, it clearly sounds good. Or, well, it's a matter of taste, you know? It kind of sounds okay this way if you like that sort of thing, but I think it sounds better this way. That's not what's going on. What's going on with dither is that the noise that's being added is so incredibly quiet that basically no one is ever going to hear it ever, pretty much. The only cases in which anyone would ever hear it is if you're listening to the quietest section of a song, like the orchestra has just finished playing, the last note is just finishing ringing out, and it's pretty much complete silence now, and the last tiny tail of the reverb has basically gone below your threshold of hearing. We're talking about lower than like 60 dB below 0 dBFS. It's dropped off to where you really can't hear it anymore. Then take your volume and crank it way, 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 way up. So loud that like you'd blow up your speakers if you played the full orchestra. Then listen for dither and maybe you can hear it. I'll link to some places where you can hear different types of dither. And some people like it when I do audio examples on this podcast. I don't really do audio examples in the podcast because I figure most of you listening to a podcast are doing the dishes, driving in a car, mowing your lawn. These are the kinds of things I do when I listen to podcasts. That's what I figure. But right now, I'll give you an audio example. This is what dither sounds like. This is what a shape dither sounds like. Okay, for those of you who are not watching the video version, I did that with my mouth. So if I were to play you actual dithered files, the dithered audio would be so, 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 so quiet, you would never hear it in this context, and I'd have to jack it way, 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 way up. But that is the way that you'd evaluate different types of dither. You could listen to, if you have multiple types of dither in your limiter and your dither plugin, you could listen to them that way, basically crank it up all the way and see which of those sounds of dither you like. But we're really talking at this point about how you like your noise floor that you're never going to hear, how you like that to sound. And the answer is with 16-bit audio and with 24-bit audio, it doesn't really matter that much. With 24-bit audio, yeah, if you actually heard the noise floor, you could hear the absence of dither, potentially, but you're never going to hear the noise floor. So if you forget to dither a 24-bit file, no one's ever going to know but you, and you might not even know. And with 16-bit, that's pretty much the case, where the noise floor is 96 dB down, basically. So no one's really ever going to hear it. But it still is a best practice to apply it. And a lot of people say it's a best practice to apply it only once. That said, if you end up applying dither twice, guess what? No one's ever going to know but you. And you're probably, maybe, arguably better off applying it twice than not at all. Because what will happen if you apply dither twice is you'll get a tiny bit denser noise floor, but you'll know that you're masking up those artifacts, those quantization errors, and those truncation errors. So long story short, a lot of people advise dither only once. So if you're sending a 24-bit file to a mastering engineer who's then going to convert it down to 16-bit and dither it, it shouldn't really matter that you do or don't add dither. There's people out there who will tell you don't add dither so that you're only dithering once. There's some validity to that. If you're sending a 24-bit file to a mastering engineer, you can dither it or not dither it. They'll apply dither when they're going from 24-bit down to 16-bit. If you are releasing a 24-bit file, you should probably apply dither to it. If you're just going to print off that 24-bit file and put it out there, you should probably apply dither to it, just because if anyone ever heard the noise floor, instead of hearing artifacty quantization errors, they'd hear kind of like a prettier sounding white noise. If you are rendering out a 16-bit file that is supposed to just go up and be released, again, go ahead and dither it. If you're sending that 16-bit audio file to a mastering engineer who's going to master it 16-bit, that's really not a best practice. You know, you probably should have been working at 24-bit and then sending your mastering engineer a 24-bit file that then he or she will dither down to 16-bit. But if you're sending them a 16-bit file with dither applied and the mastering engineer dithers it again, not really a big deal. Some people will say, hey, just to be safe, whenever you're exporting a 16-bit file or a 24-bit file, dither. And that's not bad advice, because if you're releasing the file, then it's dithered. You don't have to worry about someone who's listening to a section of silence cranking up their speakers all the way and hearing some quantization errors and things like that. You know that you're going to have like a decent sounding non-artifacty noise floor instead. So always dither and always dither once is fine advice too. As is, don't dither, let your mastering engineer do it. That works too. Both of those pieces of advice are fine because again, dither doesn't matter that much. Maybe in a world where we ended up with like 8-bit audio and that's the kind of audio files that people are listening to, then yeah, dither would become important and then we'd all be connoisseurs of the noise floor because the dynamic range of 8-bit audio is something like 40 dB. And in that case, yeah, there'd be a lot more situations in which people could actually hear the noise floor of the digital audio format. So if we were in a world where audio files were 8 bits or lower, then dither would probably make more of a difference. And we'd have arguments over which is a favorite shape of dither because there'd be some occasions where we would actually hear it. But in the real world we live in with actual 16-bit audio and 24-bit audio, no one hears the noise floor, so no one hears a dither, so it's not that big of a deal. All dither is replacing weird-sounding, artifacty noise floors with much more pleasant, evenly distributed noise floors. And the noise floor with dither is actually slightly louder than if you left it alone, but it sounds slightly better. But again, at 16 and 24-bit, it doesn't matter that much because the chances of you hearing it are basically zero. In editing this before it goes live, I'm realizing that I framed all this in terms of what other people would recommend. So I'm realizing now some people might ask me, Justin, what would you recommend? Okay, so here's what I recommend. Work at your preferred bit depth. That should be 24-bit or 32-bit floating point. Either of those is fine to work at in your sessions, in your mixes. Then if you're working with a mastering engineer, you export them a file at that bit depth, I'd say preferably no dither. And then your mastering engineer will add dither at the very last step. However, if you dither that 24-bit file and send that to your mastering engineer, it's really not a problem either. And if you mess up and dither down to 16-bit, that's not a big problem either. In fact, it's probably better if you dither going from 24-bit to 16-bit and send that file rather than dither not being applied at all. Now with that said, ideally dither is the last step in the chain. It should be the very last thing that happens after all processing right before the bit depth is reduced. Best practice, work at 1 bit depth and sample rate, send that file to a mastering engineer who will then dither it at the very end. If you are just releasing your tracks yourself without going to a mastering engineer, then go ahead, dither your final export because a dithered file is better to have as a best practice. One other little tiny thing that I didn't mention in here is that dither can actually extend your dynamic range even beyond 96 dB at some frequencies. So a 16-bit dithered file at certain frequencies can actually have an even higher effective dynamic range than 96 dB, which is kind of neat. But again, 96 dB is probably more than we need to begin with, so it's not that big of a deal either way. I could get way, way more technical than I have now. I really could go at extreme length on dither, but I want to keep this a relatively short and easy to follow podcast episode. But if there's demand for it and you guys want to like go super nerdy, we could do an episode called Dithering Remystified, where we go into all the extreme details that most people don't really need to know. Big thing is, for final release, you're going to want to dither your audio. When you're going from 24-bit or any higher bit depth down to 16-bit, you're going to want to dither your audio. And ideally, that dither should happen as the very last thing in the chain. But if you mess up, it's not that big of a deal. And it's not the end of the world. And that's really what I want the key takeaway from this episode to be. Try to follow the best practices, but if you screw up, don't be hyper concerned about it. Well, I hope that demystifies dither for you. The next time someone asks, you can tell them it's basically prettier sounding noise that we add to digital audio files so that if you ever heard the noise floor, it wouldn't matter that much. But it doesn't matter that much, because in digital audio, basically no one ever hears the noise floor. All right, I hope this one has been useful for you. If you want to go even deeper into mastering and into the fun, creative stuff that actually really matters and makes a difference, much more than which shape of dither you're going to use, which doesn't make that much of a difference, then you should check my full-length course, Mastering Demystify, which you can get at masteringdemystify.com. We talk about things like EQing, compression, limiting, spatial thingies, and all that sorts of good stuff that actually goes to taking good-sounding mixes and making them sound great, or great-sounding mixes and making them sound amazing, and amazing-sounding mixes and make them sound not ruined. So all that and more at masteringdemystify.com. Or if you want the free intro primer workshop that's all about the basics of mastering totally for free, you can get that at mastering101, sonicscoop.com/mastering101. That's sonicscoop.com/mastering101. Also, if you prefer something on mixing, I've got a full-length course on mixing called Mixing Breakthroughs, but also the free workshop, The 5 Habits of Truly Great Mixers, that you can get at sonicscoop.com/mixhabits. Last but not least, we are giving away one of these microphones, the BB29 from Jay-Z Microphones. I hope you've enjoyed the sound of it. You can win that one at sonicscoop.com/contest. That's sonicscoop.com/contest. Or sign up for the Sonic Scoop newsletter, because when these go on sale, and it could be a big one, and often after like they've had to do a giveaway, they've done an exclusive discount code for like 50% off for Sonic Scoop readers. If that's happening again, you'll find out about it by going to sonicscoop.com and signing up for the newsletter there. Big thanks also to Soundtoys, making some of my favorite creative effects in the known universe. Try out anything they make for free for 30 days at soundtoys.com. And a big thanks to Focusrite. I'm speaking through a lovely Claret interface right now. They make amazing bang for the buck stuff, from the low-end Scarlett line all the way up to the high-end RedNet series. Some of the greatest values and interfaces out there. Definitely check them out over at focusrite.com. This has been Justin Coletti of Sonic Scoop. Thanks for hanging out with me. Tell me if you hear my dither in the comments down below. See you next time.